Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed, becoming whole, complete, and entire spirit, soul, and body. We've been talking about the results of getting healed. And one of the reasons that's important is it does keep us motivated, because sometimes the process is long and sometimes we don't see it going on. And a lot of times we don't know we've been healed until we take notice of the results. So we do want to recognize changes in our life as a result of healing. There are times that we are healed without knowing it until we see results. Because just because you're not asking God to heal you in an area doesn't mean he's not healing you. He doesn't necessarily wait, in other words, for you to ask. He loves you. He wants us complete, entire, and whole. And to do that, he knows that he needs to confront our lies with his truth. And so very often he does that without us even knowing about it. To show us that we're healed, very often it will be through change, through freedom, through healing, the results. It will be because something has changed in us. So we do want to look at what the results of healing would be and then go back. Okay, the reason now this is happening in my life, I'm experiencing freedom. I'm experiencing acceptance of others and feeling and being giving is because God has healed me in certain areas. So in that sense, that's change. He doesn't change your temperament. And there are areas in our lives that, even though he's healing us, that doesn't mean we don't learn better skill. People skills, listening skills, natural discipline, getting up on time in the morning, making it to the school bus, whatever it is. That's not a reflection of necessarily of our need for healing, but sometimes it's an abdication of our responsibility as natural beings here on this earth. So as time goes by, we more and more see the subtleties of how he works in our lives, often by noticing the results of the changes of getting healed. So getting healed results in confidence in his love for us. This is a real important basic need most of us have, that God is for us, not because we deserve it, because we've earned it, because we believe the right things, we're doing enough for him, giving enough to him, fulfilling our calling. We talked about that yesterday morning. But simply because he loves us. That's who he is. And the reason he changed you into a spirit being was so that he could pour out his love into you without condition, unabashedly. And so we would then be able to receive it. So that's all we do now is receive it, receive his love for us. one of the major benefits of going through this healing process is gaining true confidence in God's commitment to his plans for us. He is committed to your wholeness, not just your healing, but your wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. And as we build a relationship with him over time, we come to not only believe that he loves us, but to know by experience not only that he loves us, but what that means to us, each one of us as an individual. When I say God loves you, it's going to mean something different to you than it does to me. And that's the way God wants it. He made you different than anyone else. You are a unique person. And his love for you will be different because you are a different vessel. Your soul and your body are different from anyone else's. So his love being poured into that vessel will be different, unique, individual. And yet his love doesn't change. It's the vessel. Not who you truly are, your spirit identity, your spirit individuality is summed up in him. This is, again, the paradox of being one in him and with him, and yet a true individual. Just accept that. Let him make that real to you. We don't have to. It's not an either or. It's both. So as we receive his healing, whatever our concept of love is will become real. He knows what you need to know to have that confidence that he loves you. It's not just about emotion. It's about action. And we may think, well, of course we know he loves us because he died for us 2,000 years ago. And look what he's done for us. Look at the blessings in my life. And you fill in your blank. That's not enough. Don't rest until you can say, I know God loves me because I've experienced his love for me. This is what his love in my life looks like. Far too often we hide behind the concept of faith, our concept of faith, that I know he loves me because I believe he loves me, or because the Bible says so, or because my pastor or my parents tell me, or fill in the blank. That's not good enough. God wants you to know that he loves you because you've experienced his love for you. It's the difference between knowing a celebrity because you've seen him on the movie screen and knowing them because you've met them, or knowing them because they're part of your family. We know someone according to our relationship. And when we realize the intimacy God desires for us, where he calls you beloved, that's how he wants to be known by you. So that confidence will result, because through the healing process, we learn trust and hearing him and how he shows up where we expect things to hurt and to be hard, and where the freedom that comes from experiencing that healing when he shows up. It's not something we need to imagine. For so long, within healing movements, there's been this concept that if God heals you, if you have a doubt, you'll lose your healing. That is just such a burden. That if you question, that it's up to you to keep your healing. If that's the case, it was not from God. We're not talking about faith healing here. We're talking about substance healing. We're talking about things really changing. Because remember, the reality we're dealing with is not soulical. It's not natural. It's from the spirit, which has the impact on the soul and the natural. We're not trying to heal the soul through the soul, or the natural through the natural. Even though those aspects are part of God's healing. Because what does he do? He changes our thoughts. He shows us our soulical beliefs, where we are believing lies. He maybe shows us areas in our physical body where we are not taking care of ourselves, where we're eating wrong or not getting enough sleep or exercise. So he shows us these things, but they come from him. And so he shows himself faithful, that when we needed a piece of information, he drops it in our lap. He gives it to us. He knows what we need, and he shows up when we need him on his terms. One of our other problems is we think that we get to dictate what healing would look like. When he says he's going to heal our relationship with, say, a family member we're angry with, we think that he's going to do that by changing them. And yet, very often we find it's not because he's changed them, it's because he's changed us. What's important for us is to realize that he has fulfilled his promise to us. Now, if we're running every aspect of our relationship with him through our own beliefs, wherever they came from, whether it's our history, our temperament, what we've been taught from the Bible or from other people's doctrine, what we're saying is that we will be the one to decide whether it's God or not. Now, when we're young and just starting out, God's patient with that. But as we desire to know him more and more clearly, we put away childish things. And we depend more and more directly on God as a person. Now, there are many that don't believe he's a person, that don't believe he's here right now. Well, let me just challenge you. Where else would he be? How can he reveal himself and save anyone without being here? Every time someone has a salvation experience, whatever you think it is, isn't it, don't we say, you're asking Jesus to come live in your heart? Well, how could he not be here then? And do we think, okay, he comes and lives in our heart, but not really. He comes and just drops in, changes us, and then zips back to his little cloud in heaven, standing by the throne, observing, and saying, look, I changed you. I gave you eternal life, or I saved you, whichever your terminology is, but now you've got to take it from here. I don't think so. I don't think there's any reason to believe that. For one thing, I've experienced his presence here now. And that once you've experienced that, you will have no doubt that he is alive and present and real now and desires to make himself known to us now. So let me just challenge you to ask him now to reveal himself to you, to prove himself that he is alive and well and working in your life. Let him make himself known to you. And all you have to do is ask. Say, Lord, I'm available. I'm willing to change my beliefs. I'm willing to accept that you are here making changes, having an impact now yourself, that you don't need me to make these changes, that you're doing it all by yourself. Occasionally you let me help, but most of the time you're doing it all by yourself. Then hold him to whatever standards you want. But then when he does it, accept that and then change your beliefs. He will do it. He's knocking on the door. Let him in. And let him make himself known to you. This is how we have that confidence. Because we've spent time with him. We've heard him speak to us. He's met our needs. He's changed us. He's revealed himself. When we find out how committed he is to us, we're willing to do whatever it takes to follow through on those things that he asks us to pursue, whether it's healing, whether it's a project, whether it's turning our whole lives upside down. And confidence, there's nothing more drawing to others, especially during crises, than confidence. When you can say, I know God is going to see us through. Not just because you believe he's going to, but because you know by experience. Others want to know that same God. And it's easy to say, you know, well, here's who he is, but you need to know him. Just ask, and he'll make himself known to you. How easy evangelism is when we have experienced something real. So he gives us that confidence, partially through the process of healing our wounds. He's committed to our wholeness. And as we build a relationship with him again over time, we come to not only believe, but to know by experience that he will never leave us or forsake us, and that he is loving, kind, gentle, reliable, patient. He's always ahead of us, preparing our way. And we also find that his love for us, confidence in his love, confidence in his patience and his preparation, frees us to confidently and generously love others. We can accept them the way they are because we are confident that God accepts us the way we are. There's no competition, there's no threat, there's no comparison. We can accept others the way they are because we have accepted ourselves the way we are. Getting healed also results in our changing our behavior and our language. As we are healed, we venture into the rest of our lives learning that every single opportunity in our lives, every circumstance, has been arranged to reveal a place in our lives where we have a need for healing, for his truth, a place where we need to depend on God for a variety of things, whether it's our needs met or just to experience his truth in an area. As your beliefs change, your behavior and language will change also. We're not just talking about, you know, what people would consider vulgar or crass language, but from negative to positive, from confident, from questioning. You know, no whining. You're not a victim, you're an overcomer. You need to start talking like one. So how we face stress, how we plan for our future, how we treat ourselves and how we treat others, and how we engage the world system, how we get involved in our world, will all reflect an increasing confidence and a change in our behavior and language. We start to act with confidence because we've been healed. We start to speak as overcomers because we've been healed. We learn to be in the world, but not of it. Because we are in the world, but not of it. By experience, we've learned to be of the spirit realm. We've tasted our own new identity, our new being as a spirit. And that gives us the confidence that our reality is not limited by our present circumstances. We learn when and how to give, how to love, how to judge and when, how to rule and reign, because we have learned how to get healed. We learn how to overcome our enemies and how to win, how to be in, how to live in victory, how to accept victory and keep it, how to take responsibility and live responsibly. Our whole life can change when we realize that when we've experienced a healing, that's proof that God loves you. But it's only a taste. There's more, always more. Never settle for anything less than everything God has for you. Getting healed also results in freedom from control and manipulation. As we are healed, we overcome or sometimes slip out from under the control that comes from our flesh, our family, our past, present, or future. We are free then to obey the Lord when he says, we're sitting at the table with him, and he says, pass the salt. And we pass the salt. That's obedience. Doesn't seem like what we've been taught. It's our nature now. When he asks us to do something, we do it. It's no big deal. Now, there'll be times when it will go against what we think or feel. But we will do it anyway, not because we go through some faith exercise or some explanation in our own justification, in our own way of thinking, or get enough counselors that agree with us, or get a word of knowledge, but because we've heard his voice and we have confidence that he loves us. So even when he asks us to do something difficult, we do it. Because he's asked us to do other things. Because he's made himself known to us. It becomes simple. Maybe not easy, but simple. When your boss comes in and says, I need you to call this customer and find out about such and such. You do it. You don't have to get, well, wait a minute, before I do that, I have to go check with my pastor. Or I have to check the manual to see if this is an area you have authority to tell me what to do in. Or I have to go get a committee meeting. I have to consult with 3 or 4 people before I do what you've asked me to do. No, you already know the parameters of the relationship. It's clear. And it's the same, it's even clearer with God. But we know what our relationship is with our employer because we've been there. We're doing it on a regular basis. It's the same thing with God. Once you're experiencing him on a regular basis, you'll have the confidence to know that you're hearing from him, that he's telling you to do something, and you can just do it. He'll take care of the consequences and all the circumstances. So you just do it. This brings us out from control and manipulation. This whole idea that anyone has spiritual authority in your life other than God. We really need to get rid of that right off the bat. There's only one spiritual authority in your life, and that's you. You and your spirit are one in your spirit with God, and that's the only spiritual authority in your life. So we'll pick it up there next Tuesday. Our next program will be Thursday at 6:30. You can always get in touch with me at wecanprepare.org. I'd be happy to go over any of these specific questions with you. So feel free to get in touch with me. And thank you so much to those who have been giving me such great feedback and great questions. Appreciate it. So have a good day today, and we'll be getting back together on Thursday. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.